in Cleveland my last year before my final vows. Father Dorga, my name. He said the most memorable experience he had of a man on his deathbed was a multimillionaire dying in a hospital. A friend of his had called up the priest and said, "This man is a multimillionaire. He's dying. Would you please visit him? He's supposed to be a Catholic. But for years, he just has not practiced his faith." So, Father Dorga went to the hospital. I couldn't believe my eyes. As I got to the hospital room, private room, they had people surrounding the dying man. But all around the room were large denomination currency. $20, $50, $100 bills. This man wanted to see his wealth as he was dying. It's not a fairy tale. And he said, "You're about a foot high, covering the bed, covering the floor, the windowsill, all over, nothing but money." I tried to talk to the man. All he was saying was, "What a beautiful sight, what a beautiful sight." And he died, as the priest told me. Of course, I gave him conditional absolution. Couldn't hear his confession. I did anoint him and hope that, and we come to the sacrament of anointing, can forgive sins even for a person who is either unconscious or may even have been out of his mind by then. That's covetousness. Want to acquire and acquire. And I may tell you, and this covetousness is not only from money. That's the cheapest thing you can be covetous for. So I tell people, paper money you can burn. Metal money you can sink. In fact, do you know this? Gold sinks faster than silver. Did you know that? Did you know that? It's acquiring anything. Notice that we don't need on the way to heaven. Remember that. Covetousness is the built-in desire we have to acquire what we don't need on the way to heaven. And we can acquire a lot. And having taught my own Jesuits for so many years and teaching at universities, they'd have to be intelligent people even to get into a graduate school. Something will just acquire and acquire more knowledge. If only their acquisition of knowledge would show, they might stop acquiring more knowledge. We even have an expression, I almost hesitate using it. It's two words, both monosyllables. The first word begins with an F and the other begins with an H. Well, I'm being taped, but I think I should use the word. We speak of people being, pardon me, fat heads. Have acquired more knowledge than they need. That's why American education is a multi-billion dollar business. Stuffing human minds with knowledge they don't need. And I make no apology to educated people, having spent my own years and years and years in both being educated and then doing my part in educating.
covetousness. He envied. Envied. Envy, let's be sure we know, is not jealousy. Jealousy is the unwillingness to share what I have. When I'm jealous, I've got something that I don't want to share with somebody else. You never heard that. No. Pardon me. I hate to disappoint you. Envy is the opposite. When I envy, I don't have something that someone else has. But notice, envy is not the same as covetousness. Somebody has something that I don't have. If I want to get it, that's covetousness. If it makes me sad, that's envy. All the friendships that are broken by envy, the unhappy families that are broken through envy. In other words, envy is the sadness we feel spontaneously when someone has or achieves. Where we either do not have or we have failed. She is 20 and I'm going on 70. I may not even know what's wrong with me. I'm envying. And cosmetics, as you ladies know, will not really make up for the bloom of youth. Am I correct? Of course, the subject has oceanic ramifications. It was envy on the part of the devil that had him tempt our first parents of their sins. It was envy and moved Cain to murder his brother Abel. It was envy on the part of the scribes and Pharisees. Remember? In the Gospels. They envied Jesus. Crowds, for days on end, would listen to Christ preaching and go hungry. Now that, my friends, that is eloquence. Well, I know I have talked to too many audiences. Sometimes they do it very cleverly. They catch my eye. I tell people there's only one way you can offend me in class, and that is by dozing off. No wonder the scribes and Pharisees envied Jesus. Moses listened to him days on end. They envied him. Every time you see the crucifix, tell yourself that's the result of envy. And over the years, how well I've learned. Nobody envies a failure. Want to be smart. You can even improve on Dale Carnegie. Don't broadcast your success. Don't parade your intelligence. Otherwise, you're asking for trouble. Envy. Sloth. Some people pronounce it sloth. You never know. Almost anything nowadays, it's in the dictionary. If it is not in the present edition, it'll be in the next one. I did tell you, didn't I? Third International decided they can no longer publish a dictionary that defines the meaning of English words. Impossible. There's too much confusion in the English-speaking world. Too much contradiction among the way people use language. Our dictionaries in English, so we're told, can only describe how words are used and not tell us what words mean. Pathetic, isn't it? Sloth, my pronunciation. I prefer the word laziness. You're all naturally lazy. I was teaching a community of nuns in Philadelphia 10 years ago. As I came in from New York to Philadelphia for class, a superior met me at the door. She said, "Father, could I talk to you?" We talked. "Father, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but the sisters have been watching you, and they tell me they know what your principal moral failing is. What sin is predominant in your life?" I said, "What are you saying?" She said, "Yes. They've watched you. They told me, Father Harkness,
principal failing is laziness." So I complimented her. "What smart sisters you've got." I figured, nobody be working the way Father Harden is, unless he's trying to overcome your sinful nature. But what people won't do to hide their laziness. Like one of my students teaching theology in southern Indiana, went to the superior and got permission to be excused from class to unload a carload of coal. Anything but think. And by the way, that's the worst kind of laziness, intellectual laziness. Finally, gluttony. And for many people, gluttony is overeating. Oh no. Here's my definition of a gluttonous country. A gluttonous country is one in which pastry has replaced bread. And I believe the United States qualifies. It is not how much we eat, only. That you might is amateur gluttony. A professional gluttony is all. You know, those thick, and not just one book, but I know in the kitchen, a whole row of books on recipes. All kinds of exotic names. There is one primary purpose for eating, in case nobody told you. To nourish the body so we keep body and soul together. You know what I'm saying? Why then do we need to pray? Because we have a fallen human nature with these 7 sinful tendencies. And my friends, you don't acquire the virtues, which are the contrary of these sinful tendencies. You do not acquire humility or chastity or meekness or generosity, or charity, or industriousness, or, you never guess. This will make my day in Ann Arbor. If anybody knows the virtue that is opposite to gluttony. What do you say?
Temperance.
Yeah, that's, it's okay, but
opposite of the sin of gluttony. I knew I shouldn't have come to class. Is this ever important for us? especially in our society. They're asking why must we pray? Third reason. We are tempted by the world. First, we've got to define the world. The world has many meanings in Catholic theology. In St. John's Gospel alone, where Christ often speaks about the world, I counted the different meanings of the one word, world. In St. John's Gospel alone, I counted 14 meanings. What then does the world mean here? And we say, we need to pray because we are tempted by the world. The world is the attractive, sinful conduct of other people. The attractive, sinful conduct of other people. If only sinful people were ugly. If only they were all mean. We just couldn't even stand the sight of sinners. No problem. But I'm sure you know, and giving retreats. That's why I give retreats, say to men. I tell the men, I'm sure when you're married, you thought, well, it's going to be great. Now that I'm married, all the women will be just ugly. Couldn't stand the sight of them. Turn me off. I never realized. It seems they can become more attractive than ever. And they tell me, Father, the homeliest women. In other words, and we're talking about the world. It attracts us. Attracts us to sin. Every temptation is attractive. It's not attractive, it's not a temptation, I mean. That solves that. And notice the attractive, the appealing, sinful conduct of other people. Their behavior, their language, the way they live. And this, by the way, is, again, where we, especially in our country, have got to be so careful. Therefore, we've got to pray so much. Because we're being deluged by the world through a very sophisticated, again, multi-billion dollar industry, advertising. How many of you know who Will Rogers was? Will Rogers. You can tell, of course, identify your age. Will Rogers was a homeless, one philosopher. You may have heard. I like his definition of advertising. Advertising makes people buy what they don't need with money they don't have. And they attract it. Sinful conduct. Acquiring. For example, I was talking recently to the mother of 8 children. I know she was not a wealthy person. But how did your husband and you figure this out? 8 children in today's America. And the job her husband had is not high-paying jobs. Well, she said, with every child, as the child came along, we had to decide to lower our standard of living. That makes sense. Had to lower our standard of living. But would you believe it? He kept living. therefore, is the attractive behavior of other people, which tempts us to sin. Now watch this. While the other person is doing, it may not be a sin for that person. So when we say sinful behavior, we don't necessarily say that person's behavior, the one who is a temptation to me, is sinful in what they are doing. But how they're living is to walk into some people's homes is a temptation. And our media and the hovels and slums of our cities, people have hardly enough even to live on, to watch hour after hour wealth displayed. My friends, in case nobody told you, that's a temptation. Temptation to what? Go down the list. One more area. Why must we pray? We must pray because we are tempted by the devil. Let me tell you, the closer we come to God, the more holy, sorest God knows, we become. The more sincerely we're trying to do the divine will, the more the devil is going to tempt us. And we know that's true because Christ himself, remember, he began his public ministry how? By allowing himself to be tempted by the devil. And he said at Mass, your Mass, Christ's baptism, which is today's feast, is to teach us. Teach us what? To teach us not to be slaves of human respect. Christ was considered when he because he was immersed in water of the Jordan to be baptized to show us what we need. God, the creator of the universe, allowed himself to be considered a sinner, and we, pardon the term, we stupid fools can boast of the trinkets, the trifles that we possess. Back then to the devil. Christ then allowed himself to be tempted by the devil, among other reasons, to teach us that no one, in other words, no one is exempt from this temptation. Of course, the devil is a liar. So, he wouldn't be as smart as he really is. He did not look at us from one side and from another side. Let's see, how can I get this person to sin? Clever. Diabolically clever. And consequently, we talk about the need for prayer. Why do we need to pray? First, watch this. Not only do we resist the devil when we're being tempted. Hear it. The main and most fundamental reason why we must pray is our fourth level of why, is to recognize when we're being tempted by the devil. And St. Ignatius, in his spiritual exercises, has not just one set of rules, but two sets of rules, what he calls discernment of spirits. Meaning what? Be able to discern. Discern what? To know the difference between an instigation of the devil and an inspiration from God. As pious people, the devil adjusts himself to their piety. With smart people, he adjusts himself to their intelligence. Depending on whatever weakness the person has, the devil adjusts himself in order to be able to attempt successfully. So, why must we pray on the fourth level? In order, first of all, to be able to recognize when we're being tempted by the evil spirit. Because not know we're being tempted, hell. And of course, he'll give in because we may think we're being inspired by the Holy Spirit. For example, I need more education. So I take more classes. I read more books. The question is, do I need that knowledge? And remember, the more knowledge we have, the more hungry we become for acquiring more knowledge and still more. And I will either tell parables or give stories on both sides, both men and women. I assure you, I've been brought up in an old woman household. My father died when I was a year old. Mother never remarried. She took in women boarders from my infancy. So I tell husbands, fellows, I know women. And I have to tell them better than you do. But how many wives have complained? All my husband does is read. He spent hours reading. He tells me he needs it. Have him call me up. You know what I'm saying? The devil can't tempt us. And remember, he tempts us according to those seven sinful tendencies. He has the demonic logic, and he knows us. Some people have strong tendencies in pride. Others are almost naturally humble. Well, what did I say? Almost. Nobody is naturally humble. Everybody is naturally proud. But the devil then studies, watches us. He can never read our thoughts, by the way, just for the record. Isn't that great? But he watches us. He watches how we act and react. However, we need to pray not only to recognize and remain tempted by the devil. We also need grace to know how to resist the devil. Well, this is the evil spirit. Now listen, there are temptations that you've got to resist. The force of our being, stand up to them. But there are temptations you don't stand up to. There are temptations you either run or walk away from. There are temptations that we are no match for. In other words, we need prayer to know whether maybe I should not get out of the situation in which I am. Am I making sense? Because I'm holding myself up to the instigation. Clever, masked, but instigated.